Blog Talk Radio.
Monster X Radio. It is September 29th, 2013. I'm Johnny Bigfoot, and with me tonight, as usual, is my co-host Shane. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, you know, I'm doing all right. Excited about the show. Should be an interesting show tonight.
Indeed. And tonight we welcome to the show Bigfoot researcher Tim Fasano. Tim is a researcher out of Florida. I guess he'd be one of the most well-known and well-versed people on the skunk ape, which is a version of Bigfoot. Some think it's its own species. You know, and Tim spends a lot of time in the field. He's a well-known figure in the Bigfoot community. You know, I like the fact that he works with other researchers. He He's not afraid to get his hands dirty, and he spends a lot of time in the field. And so, should we give Tim a call here?
Yeah, let's get this ball rolling. I know Tim went to the Bucks game, so we'll see his thoughts on how they did. You know, Art, I hope it's not a cage match, but...
He's here.
Oh.
He's calling us.
All right.
Welcome to Monster X Radio, Tim.
Am I on?
You are on live.
I didn't know. I thought you guys were going to call me, so I got a little nervous a couple minutes before the show, so I dialed.
That's all right.
I was just trying to call you.
Yeah, you're right. I did go to the Bucks game, and the tickets were complimentary, which was good because I'm glad I didn't have to pay to watch them lose to the Arizona Cardinals.
Tim, I was going to say the only thing stinkier than some of the crap going on in the Bigfoot community right now is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers record of 0-4.
0-4, and you know, NFL coaches, if you go 2-14, 3-13, you get fired, man. I mean, it's as simple as that. It's Jerry Glanville once said NFL meant not for long. So our new coach Schiano, he ain't gonna be around much longer. Even though he's Italian and I like him, you got to win or you're gone, man. And
absolutely.
Anyway, it was fun, tiresome, hot as hell, sitting in the sun, and I'm a little dehydrated, and I'm back home, and I got some water in front of me. I've been drinking a ton of water. It's yeah, you're in Minnesota, so the weather here is the reverse of what you get.
This is Shane here. I'm actually out of Minnesota. I'm actually out of Oregon, and John's out of Minnesota. Right now in Oregon here, we're getting 8 inches of rain, and it's just flooding everywhere.
Well, we've had our share, and what's really a bummer is, without a doubt, down here, June, July, August, and September, it's off season. You can't do any research. All the areas are flooded. There's a tremendous amount of rain, insects, snakes, heat. The beauty of all of this is that we're coming out of it, and you know, next week will be October, and it won't be July, so we'll be able to move in the next 7 months. Kevin and I and George will be able to do some real solid research. I guess it's the opposite in Minnesota. When you hit wintertime, you've got 4 months of snow, and you can't do a lot if you're a Bigfoot researcher up there. So
right. Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, that's the way it goes.
But my Vikings won today, so I don't care what the weather is.
Congratulations. They were in London, England, I believe.
Yeah, so we are now 1-3.
Well, you kick Pittsburgh back to 0-4, so they're right where we're at, except for the Steelers have won 2 Super Bowls in the last 6 years, so their coach he'll get some forbearance. And I'm not so sure ours will. And that's really the main issue tonight is there's a there's a lot of issues tonight, but one of the issues tonight is it is an issue of forbearance. There's a researcher out of Ontario that I've had my eye on since we developed an initial friendship long before he became a YouTuber. And I'm convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that this man is a hoaxer and that he's running a scam to convince people that he's actually finding real evidence of a cryptid commonly referred to as Sasquatch. And because I'm a dedicated researcher with a team of professionals, and we do this, I was going to say do it for a living. I don't know who does it for a living, but we take it serious, so I take exception that somebody like Timber Giant Bigfoot gets a lot of attention and gets the play and has convinced many people that he's authentic, when in reality, he is anything but that. And I would like an opportunity to explain that on your show. All of this has materialized in the last few days. Last Sunday, he released a video that I refer to as the Big Red video. It's the culmination of his research of several years in which he's been attempting to get a clear image of the skunk ape, Sasquatch. The reason I don't say HD image is because someone sent him 2 years ago a $2,500 HD camera that he has not used. He claims he's had difficulty with the software and he doesn't know how to load it and it doesn't match with his computer and blah, 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 blah. And a lot of people believe that excuse of his. The reality is that any HD camera that's been made recently has a proprietary software built inside. So all you do is you plug in to the HD port and the proprietary software will display itself, and then you can edit your video based on that. You don't have to download anything. So I'm not really a techie, but I know enough about it to know that that was a dodge on his part. See, one of the things that hoaxers don't want to do is they don't want to get clear HD images, because high definition will show that what they're filming is not real. So you want to keep it a little on the grainy side and a little bit on the unclear side, and you clearly are going to transition or edit a video that shows that what you're filming is not a Sasquatch, and that is what many people believe he has done on the Big Red video, which I call it, and so has Sean of BigfootEvidence.blogspot.com. And the only thing I can compare it to is, you guys are pretty young. I'm old enough to remember when John F. Kennedy, President Kennedy, he's the first president that I can remember when I was a little kid, and he was assassinated on November 22nd, 1963. And this November would be 50 years. There was a film, an 8mm film shot by Abraham Zapruder, who was in close proximity to the limousine and got the clearest view of the actual assassination. But a lot of people don't realize that in the first part of the Zapruder film, do you know what's on that?
No.
No, of course you don't. Nobody knows that. I do because I saw a documentary about it. It's a backyard picnic that Abraham Zapruder had in his backyard in August, and, you know, cooking hamburgers and hot dogs. And he shelved the camera until November, and then when he knew that the president was going to be coming by where he worked in downtown Dallas, and then he pulled the camera out and went and shot it. Well, the reason that the backyard video is never shown is because it's been determined, obviously, that it's irrelevant to the assassination, so you don't show that. So I'm having a hard time trying to understand, and maybe somebody can help me out with this, why Timber Giant would cut out something as if, when you have a clear shot of a Sasquatch, why you would edit the video, make splices, as if it were irrelevant to the process. I could not think of anything that would be more relevant to the process than showing everything that you captured, if indeed you are a bona fide Bigfoot researcher. Now, if you are a huckster trying to con people, then that is self-explanatory. So maybe you guys can help me out on that, because I can't come up with a justification for it.
No, there is no justification for it. I mean, those are key points that he edits. And the way he edits it, too, it's almost like he's trying to keep the scene continuous. You know, he's trying to make it seem like there isn't a cut right there. And he also zooms out. He tries to make it seem like there isn't a cut in the film the way he edits. He tries to make it seem like it is a continuous scene. And it's not. People that have made videos or that know about YouTube or just that have a keen eye can see the cuts at the key points. He also zooms out right when the thing's about to turn to the side. Like, you're going to see the head of this thing if it is an animal, right as he's zooming out. I'm sorry, but if I got the find of the millennium on camera, the last thing I'm doing is zooming out.
Well, I do want to be fair because I believe in clarity, and I am a field researcher, and I've done that myself. Considering that Timber Giant is not a professional cameraman, and neither am I have totally zoomed out at the wrong time and zoomed in at the wrong time. So that I really don't hold against him in the panning away and panning back and forth. Again, that's what an amateur would do. So I would sound strange. I would actually defend him on that point. However, it's the splicing and dicing of the video that I take exception to, because it clearly, in my opinion, shows deception. And I want to know what he's cutting out. Perhaps it's a friend with a suit on, and they don't have a monkey face, so they got a glimpse of somebody's real face, so they had to cut that out. I'm only speculating. I would really like an answer to that. I don't believe in being pejorative or name-calling. I really don't, contrary to what people think about me. I really like to be clear and precise about things. And, again, I'm having a hard time with a guy who calls himself Jim, and nobody even knows really if Jim is his real name. He has no Twitter account. He has no Facebook. He has no blog. He has no website. He's not a member of any Bigfoot organization. Nobody in the Bigfoot community has his phone number, nor does he have their phone number. He doesn't go to Bigfoot conventions. There's no way anyone can contact him. What I'm leading up to is that he and he alone is the only witness to everything that's been going on in his videos for the last 3 years. He has no team. He doesn't work with other people other than his family members. And no one can get a read on this guy. Now, when Bill Brock, the rogue Bigfoot, Bill Brock out of Maine, who's the rogue Bigfoot guy, he came down to Florida last March. I picked him up at Tampa International Airport. Now, this is hearsay because this is what he told me. He said that he had actually contacted this guy, Jim, and spoke to him on the phone. Jim's not his name. It's not his name. So this guy is absolutely trying to cover up who he is. Nobody knows who he is. And I find that to be a red flag and be really odd because everybody in the Bigfoot community tends to know everybody. There's probably 20 people in the Bigfoot world that have my cell phone number, and I have theirs and others. And people stay in contact. But no one contacts this guy. So I take that as a red flag. I mean, but anyway, I don't want to hog your show. What is your basic thought on that?
No, I completely agree with you. You know, the guy can't take the heat, you know, and he posts this stuff over and over again. You know, I don't know why he didn't approach in his last video, didn't approach the subject and, you know, just end the controversy. Shot Evidence posted a video earlier of like a kind of a headshot of something walking behind a bush that Phil Poling
I posted that.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on that one? I mean, why didn't he not approach it? Because there was no way for this animal or whatever it was to escape, person in a suit, whatever you want to, there was no way for it to escape. All you had to do was round the corner and bam.
It's believed that his son, by many people I've spoken with, that his son went behind the bush and walked behind it, and that was his head moving there. And so there's only two possibilities with that video. One, it's either a Sasquatch or it's a hoax. So this is where we're at. It's not a misidentification of anything.
You don't think it could be a bear?
Well, if it was a bear, then he could have shown us a video if he went behind it or backed up and went to the side and then videotaped the bear. I can tell you right now, as a Bigfoot researcher, if I film a bear behind a tree and then subsequently discover that it is a bear, but I represent the initial part of the footage as being Sasquatch, then I'm a hoaxer because I have knowledge that it's a bear, but I presented it as a Sasquatch. So that's hoaxing.
Yeah. Well, when I first saw the video, towards the beginning of it, he said something that made me think it could have been a bear. You know, he said something to the effect of, I shouldn't be out in the open. Maybe I should be up in a tree or something. You know, and I know black bears can climb trees, but the other types of bears, brown grizzly?
I don't think so, because it had heights to it to a certain degree, and then the bushes shook. I think it was something that he had set up. But regardless of that, he had knowledge as to what it was, but presented it as something else, and that means that he's a hoaxer. But on the Big Red video, that I call it, the video is completely compromised. He edited it. The video as it stands could never be presented in a court of law, for example, because it's been edited, and it certainly would have no scientific value because there's been omissions. So my challenge to him is to straighten up his act and present the real thing. I'm more than willing to acknowledge that he may have actually discovered or videotaped a Sasquatch, but like Chuck Prawl, who does Bigfoot Buzz, we'd actually like to really see what you have, and the fact that you're not showing us everything you have makes us a little suspicious. So because I'm suspicious, his followers have been spamming my YouTube site saying that I am in need of psychiatric help and I have psychological disorders, because I raised a skeptical eyebrow about somebody who's presenting evidence. Well, that's what they say about me. They call me a hoaxer, but I have 962 videos on YouTube. 940 of them don't show a damn thing other than walking around in the woods. So if I'm some great hoaxer, I don't really know what in the hell I'm supposed to be hoaxing, because this evidence is scarce and rare and hard to find. If you were to take a scan, go to Timber Giant's YouTube site and just hit his archives and pull them up and scan the title in every video. Every video that he has indicates that he has some type of evidence in that video. And I find that a little hard to believe. He's got some strange titles. One recently was said, "Yes, I carry a knife," and there's a face in the brush, a la Todd Standing. The face amazingly looks like Jim himself. He's got another one called Night Visitor with a question mark, and it looks like an ape in the bushes, but it's just probably just an amorphous shadow. But his followers believe that. And there's one, Kids in Painted Stone, where they paint stones and put them up on a tree, and I'll be honest, because I like to be clear, I haven't seen the entire video, so I don't know what happens at the end. But apparently this is some type of gifting thing, and I bet you at the end he concludes that the Sasquatch left additional gifts to match or whatever they were putting out there or whatever. But the key to all this, believe it or not, I was talking about Kennedy assassination. November 21st, 2011, Timber Giant put up a video in which he was in another province, or at least in another part of Ontario, north of Lake Erie. He had traveled far away from where he lives, and he went out in the woods to do Bigfoot research, and guess what? Voila! He videotaped a Bigfoot. First attempt out in the woods north of Lake Erie. Pretty good stuff, huh? He said he was filming the video over his shoulder, and was unaware that the Sasquatch was behind him, and he videotaped it. He showed a segment of that and clips of it that were sort of grainy and hard to see. In my opinion, what the image that he shot looked as if someone was wearing a monkey suit, but the person was about 5 foot nothing and weighed 100 and nothing. So it wasn't a very big Sasquatch. Keep in mind, his son is 15 years old. And I suspect that it was his son or a friend of his wearing the suit. Now, the next day he did a video called About the November 21st sighting, in which he's wearing like this spandex type of body glove type of wetsuit with a zipper in the front, and he's got this pedigree dog sitting in front of him, and he talks for 50 minutes about this Bigfoot and how he loaded the entire unedited video on YouTube and as a private video, and that he would soon release this video, but he never mentioned it again. Never mentioned it again. So the only thing I can conclude is that he has clear video of a Sasquatch. It's been sitting on YouTube as a private video, and he never bothers to mention it. I find that a little odd, don't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, without a doubt. You know, there's so many questions to those videos. Like you mentioned earlier, every single video has supposed evidence. You know, there's no real, you know, he doesn't go out there and go, oh, I didn't find anything today. Almost every video is like, oh, here we go, boom, 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 boom. With no real scientific, you know, analysis on it, or he doesn't really go back to the site, do a size comparison of anything. And that drives me bonkers.
He said Big Red was in a hole or a depression in the earth. That's why it seemed like it was so short on the camera. But he never went to that spot and showed us that hole or depression.
No, and hasn't gone back since. But I find it strange that he actually went into the air. Didn't he go in there and find apples and nuts and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Yep, the thing was holed up eating apples and cracking nuts and didn't even sense him. And he got right up to her and got the money shot.
Well, wouldn't you be a little nervous that whatever that thing was, it might return and be a little pissed off because you're messing around with his apples and nuts?
Yeah, he even ate one of them apples, if I remember correctly. Yeah, another thing is he didn't gather any DNA evidence. You know, he didn't get out the gloves and put the apples and the things in the bag or nothing. He grabbed those apples and started eating them himself.
Well, you know, I would be honest with you, I did not see that part. He started eating the apples?
Yeah, I believe he ate one.
That may have had Bigfoot saliva all over it.
Hey, when in Rome.
My God.
Yeah.
My Lord, well, I can't believe that.
Tim, what are your thoughts on the... I'm really curious about this camera that he was given to, though. What happened to it, you know, and why does he not use it?
He said software, hardware incompatibility problems.
So where'd he go? Did he send it back? Or, I mean, you know, I mean...
I don't know. Yeah. He never pulls it up. But keep in mind, I don't have any contact with this guy, but I used to have contact with him. This is something people don't know. 3 years ago, I got a message, an email from somebody in Ontario. His name was Jim, and he said that he had had a sighting 12 years earlier, and then he wanted to start doing the Bigfoot channel on YouTube, and he'd been watching my videos, and he wanted some pointers. And he asked me questions about wood knocking. And I sent him a message back. It was Jim. This was before he even had his channel. I sent him back a message explaining what my thoughts were on wood knocking. And then I got another email from him. He wanted to know about stick structures. And then another one about audio howls. And then about this and that. It was just going down the litany of perceived Bigfoot evidence. And he wanted to know about these things. So... sure enough, he put up his first couple of videos, and I kind of cringed because I went, oh, my God, he really thinks he's finding evidence, because he found these little piles of sticks, and he was claiming that it was Bigfoot stuff. So I sent him a message back, and I said, you know, Jim, I really appreciate your enthusiasm and how you're going about this, but you got to get your sea legs first. That's not Bigfoot evidence. It's just a little pile of sticks. That's all it is. And... You need to keep pursuing this. You know, eventually you'll learn there's a learning curve and you'll grow through it. The big learning curve is everyone that I know of goes through the everything's a Bigfoot stage. And I went through that. You hear a twig snap out in the woods. Oh, Jesus, it's got to be Bigfoot, right? Something moves in the bushes. Oh, it's Bigfoot. What else could it possibly be, right? Well, with Jim, it was always Bigfoot. It was always Bigfoot. Then I realized, well, wait a minute. He's not going through a learning curve. And then it dawned on me, he's not wanting to go through a learning curve. His subscribers are growing. He's playing along with this. He's exploiting what he's finding in the woods. And he's not debunking, and that's the key to all of this. He's not debunking anything that he finds. Everything that he finds, he's proclaiming that it's Bigfoot, and he presents it as Bigfoot evidence. So that's why I don't consider him to be a credible researcher, and either does anyone else that is a serious person in the Bigfoot community. And that's why I think this needs to be called to light, because he's got thousands of misguided subscribers who think that he's presenting to them real evidence, and that just clearly confuses the issue as far as what Bigfoot research is all about.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think people jump on stuff like this, without really doing their homework on it, the things I get told to me are, well, the guy's sharing his information and his work and this and that, but nobody knows him, nobody knows where exactly, well, actually, we kind of know where he's at, but he really doesn't, he shares these videos. I mean, I can go out in the field, and I do, and I could share a ton of videos, and for me, I could do a really good job of hoaxing something if I really wanted to. You know, I mean, it wouldn't be that hard. You know, I could do a lot. I can make my own little, Ewoks out in the bush and do that sort of thing. And I could probably get, 100,000 people watching me, but I don't. Why are people jumping on this, do you think? And, I know a lot of people believe him, and they think that he's got some legit stuff. But why?
Well, a lot of it has to do with the persona of Jim himself. He's a tall, good-looking man, and he shows his kids, and that creates sympathy. And one of the hallmarks of a confidence game is to gain the confidence of the mark that you're trying to influence. And this is what he does. And if you notice, his appeal and his style is of a metrosexual. He wears jewelry and he's got the haircut, and he wears the clogs. Most men don't wear that type of stuff. So I have no way of knowing this, but I would bet 70-80% of his subscribers are women. And he knows that. I mean, he looks at himself in the mirror and he says, I'm a tall, good-looking man, and I bet I can influence these people. And he's charming. Now, the thought of a charming con man, I mean, whoever thought of such a thing, right? Ted Bundy, the serial killer, was a good-looking man, and women went with him because they felt safe, because they confused good looks with integrity and character and honor, and they subsequently found these women dead out in on riverbanks. So that's a mistake that humans always make.
Well,
in
Timber's defense, I don't like to compare him to a serial killer per se. He may be a hoaxer, but a serial killer,
I understand the analogy.
Maybe that's a bad analogy, but I mean, it's people who have pulled bunko operations and companies, usually these people are very charismatic.
Yeah, and good looks is a part of that.
Have that energy that people gravitate to, and it's an X factor, and he clearly has that. He's also benefited from contributors. There was what I call the Rex Dutton phase. There was a guy called Rex Dutton who opened up a YouTube channel, and all he ever did was analyze Jim's videos. And he always found blob squatches in his videos, multiple. He'd look in there and find four, five, six Sasquatches peeking behind trees. And he'd post that up on his YouTube channel, and Timber would exploit that, and it helped him gain a following. Another tactic he used is the, the use of his kids. He's got what I call a famous video. It's got a lot of views. It's one of his highest rated videos. It's called the August 25th, Watch Closely. And what you see is he's out with two of his young children, and they're on a, I don't know if you've mountain bike, but they appear to be on a bike trail. And the bike trail is heavily used. It's packed. firm. It's dirt, but it obviously is well traveled. And his two children are out there, and they've got their little bikes with the tassels on the handlebars and training wheels and their little helmets. And he's stating that he's in the deep Ontario wilderness. Well, nothing could be further from the truth, because actually at some point you start hearing a beep, 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 which to me sounds like a garbage truck backing up, which means they must be in close proximity to a parking lot. In fact, both of his kids take their shirt sleeves and hold them over their noses, because obviously some of the garbage must have dumped out and they were smelling it. But Timber didn't miss a beat. He said the Bigfoot is known to produce a smell, and this must be what we're smelling right now. So that was pretty good. That was good, because it appeared to me that it was obvious they were near a garbage truck, and they weren't anywhere near where Sasquatches would be. And that's my opinion on that. And based on my experience in the field, first of all, you can't take small children with you out into the, quote, deep wilderness. I don't know
well,
if
can you wear
kids.
Crocs?
Well, no, but kids get they get tired, they get bored, they get cranky, they want to go home. Daddy, I want to go home. So there's not really a lot you can do with them other than entertain them. And I think that's probably what he was doing on the weekends. He'd take the kids out, and he'd start spooking them, telling them stories about Bigfoot. And the little kids would go, ooh, yeah. So he's just goofing around. He's being a dad and playing with his kids. But then he kept checking his numbers on YouTube and seeing the numbers grow and seeing the comments about everybody believing what he was doing. And he just took that and ran with it. I in no way am insinuating that he's a bad father in no way, shape, or form. I'm sure he's a great father. He's a great dad. I think he's probably a great person. None of this is personal. If I were to meet Timber John, I would shake his hand and probably want somebody to take our photo, because I just, you know, he's a celebrity or he's whatever he is. And I think personally he's a great individual, and he has a lot of qualities that people would want to have. However, I focus only on his research, and that I don't believe. Unlike his followers who are spamming my site, and they're referring to me as fat cab driver, piece of shit, loser, on and on they go. They're very pejorative, and they don't address the issues that people with critical minds would bring up. And this is what I'm attempting to do. By the way, I was just wondering, do you have callers on hold? Do you have people in chat, or do we have an audience here tonight?
Oh, we got an audience. We got a big audience tonight. We're going to get some. Do you want to take some callers now? We can do that.
We usually open it up the second hour, so you can go for a little longer.
Well, I wanted to ask you something, Tim. You know, what are your thoughts on Chris Noel or Noel? You know, I mean, you know, he's kind of back in this a little bit. What are your thoughts on him?
He was also supporting Rick Dyer.
Right. He still is.
Okay. I'm going to state right now for a fact, people try to associate me with Rick Dyer.
Yes,
I met Rick Dyer once 2 years ago when he was in Orlando and his RV blew up on the highway, and that was on the news. I was watching the late news one night, and they're talking about this RV that exploded outside of Orlando, and they had a helicopters, you know, flying around. And they said that the guy's name was Rick Dyer, and he was a Bigfoot researcher. And I'm like, my God, you got to be kidding me. Well, the next day, we were friends on Facebook, but, you know, people have hundreds and hundreds of friends that they never contact, right? But I found him. I looked him up on the Facebook, and I sent him a note, and I just simply said, are you all right? Is your family okay? And he messaged me back and told me the hotel he was at. And I sent him my cell phone number, and I said, well, let me just meet you, because he was only about 45 minutes away from me. So we met for lunch. I was only there about 2 hours, and then I left and went home. And I have not seen the guy since, okay? And everyone wants to say that somehow I'm connected to Rick Dyer.
What about
Rick Dyer is a hoaxer. I have no contact with Rick Dyer. He's a hoaxer. He's pulling a hoax right now about claiming that he has a Bigfoot body. I don't believe he has a body. In fact, I'm sure he doesn't have a body. This is all, again, he's he's of a different variety of hoaxer than Jim is. And I would tell Rick to his face, and we'd probably laugh. He admits on videos that he's a hoaxer, that that's what he does. And from what I hear, he's got Derek Randles, who's a credible individual. He's going to come visit in December and check out the Bigfoot body. I mean, look, we had Muskie Allen that went to Las Vegas. We had Steve Calls that went to Los Angeles. And now we're going to have Derek Randles who's going to come. I mean, when the hell does this come to an end? At some point, either, you know, there's a...
When does a scientist get to go?
I'll believe it if Dr. Jeff Meldrin goes there and visits, and if Dr. Meldrin says that's a real Bigfoot, then I would believe it. Or Dr. Devon Sarmiento.
I'll be honest. I don't know why Derek Randles is kind of involved in this, but if he were to go and see it, I mean, I know it's a hoax. I know this. Everybody knows this. But if he were to go, and like I said, I don't know why he's involved. You know, I'm not going to question Derek Randles' motives.
I don't have a clue.
Yeah, yeah. But I would, you know, I respect Derek Randles. I've met him. I've hung out with him. I've done research with him. And I would respect his opinion, you know. But, you know, I don't know his involvement, you know. And I'm not going to question his involvement or integrity, I guess.
Yeah, they're friends,
you know,
for whatever reason.
Yeah, for whatever reason. I don't know. I don't understand it. But it's not really, I'm not going to go there, I guess. But I did have another question for you, since we're on the subject of hoaxers. What are your thoughts, and what's your involvement with, Biscardi?
Tom Biscardi,
yeah,
came to Florida on Memorial Day 2011. I believe it was 2011. Yeah, no, wait a minute. Let me get my years right. 11. Yeah, he came to Memorial Day 2011. And I met him at a predetermined spot, and we worked out in the field for a night expedition. And he left Florida, and I haven't seen him since. And to be fair about this, I've also worked in the field with Mitch Waite, Susan Farms of Arizona. I'm sure you're familiar who Mitch Waite is.
Yeah.
I've got video and photos of Mitch Waite and I. I've also worked with the rogue Bigfooter that I was telling you about, Bill Brock. I've got a photograph of him and I together. I've also worked with Stacy Brown Jr. Mm-hmm. And I've worked with Kevin Thomas Keel and George McGee and Rob Bogus and Terry Lynch, who's the Florida State Assistant State Director of the MUFON organization, which is Mutual UFO Reporting Network. And I have a standing offer. Anybody that comes to Florida and wants to work with me, I'll work with them. I don't care who they are. I don't care who they are.
I like that.
If Timber Giant Bigfoot were to call me from Orlando and say, hey, Tim, you want to work with me out in the woods? I would hop in my car and drive and meet him and go out and work. So if somebody says I work with Biscardi, then that means I'm a bet. No, I'm like a kid in the neighborhood who's got a basketball and looking for other kids to play with. And whoever wants to play with them, I'll play. So
That's one of my biggest problems with Timber is that many people have offered. I know people in Canada, and they've messaged him and said, hey, let me come out with you. I'll bring some equipment, and we'll do this right. And he's either not replied or turned them down. You know? That's one of my biggest problems with him.
Yeah, you're right. No one knows the guy. He's just a YouTube sensation who has a lot of subscribers.
And his name, according to Bill Brock, is not even Jim. But, you know, he did it the right way. I'll tell anybody right now, not to get sidetracked, if somebody out there wants to do a YouTube channel, listen to Tim now. Listen to Fasano. I'm going to give you some good advice. If you're going to do a YouTube channel on Bigfoot, the first thing you don't want to do is you don't want to use your real name. You really don't. And the reason is, you know, I've had people spend money to run NCIC criminal background investigations on me to see what they could find out about my background. Now, is that scary or what?
It's scary, but if you have nothing to hide, then who cares really, right? I mean, let them spend their
money. Well, I know, but it just shows how demented these people are. So
Use
your first name, Tony, Bill, Mike, whatever. And the second thing you don't want to do is you don't want to tell them what your occupation is, what you do for a living, because they'll find a way to make fun of that. I'm a cab driver. That's an honest profession. It's a profession that requires about 60, 70 hours a week from me. It's hard work. It's not easy work. You get cussed at, yelled at. Half the time you don't pick up people under favorable conditions. They're calling for a taxi cab because something's gone wrong in their life, and you hear it. It's a tough job, but these flamers, they mock driving a taxi cab. I bet if you were, let's say, a clerk at a 7-Eleven, they would make fun of that. Hell, you know Melba Ketchum? She's a veterinarian, right?
Yeah.
Michael Merchant goes on. And he pejoratively refers to her as the cat vet. So she's a doctor of veterinarian science, and she still gets made fun of. And, you know, Todd Standing once said that Mother Teresa could do a blog on world peace, and she'd have haters. So that's really the way these people are. So don't use your real name. Don't tell anybody what you do for a living, and just focus on the research. That's really the only advice I can give anyone.
Yeah.
Haters are going to hate. You know, I've been following your research for a while now, and I was wondering when you got started in all this and how you got started into Bigfooting.
Oh, I got started in 2009. I've always been interested in Bigfoot work. In fact, I still have the original Saga magazine. This blows time. I was 17 years old, and I used to get Saga magazine every month because there was no internet. To you young people, you can't imagine a world without the internet, okay? There was no internet, and I was always interested in Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster, UFOs, and there was a magazine called Saga, S-A-G-A. It came out every month, and they always had that kind of stuff in it. So I was 17 years old, and I got a magazine that had a cover story about a young 25-year-old Bigfoot researcher named Tom Biscardi. This was 1973. And Tom Biscardi was flying in an airplane in Alaska with his partner. And he was using, at the time, what was state-of-the-art thermal imaging. And they were flying right above treetop level, aiming the camera down, trying to see if they could get a thermal image of a Bigfoot. And a lot of people think that Tom Biscardi is just a newbie to all this. But keep in mind, I was 17 at the time. Okay, I'm 57 years old and I found that it was an honor to actually go out in the woods with somebody who was like a childhood idol. And I still have the magazine that he was on the cover of. And this guy's still going strong in the Bigfoot world. Tom's a multimillionaire who last year produced two of the most successful shows on the Las Vegas Strip at the MGM Grand, the Elvis Oldie Show, and there was another show, and he's got one going in Biloxi. He's also been co-producer of the Ozzy Osbourne Tour. He's a very, very rich man, and he uses the money that he makes to funnel it into his Bigfoot research. And that's the only reason he tries to become – that's the only reason he became a millionaire was so that he could go look for Bigfoot. The guy is an absolute true believer in Bigfoot. And
he just got mixed up with some bad people, huh?
Yeah.
He just got mixed up with some bad people, huh, like Dyer and company back in
08. Yeah. Dyer even admitted last week on his video show that he had scammed Tom out of 50 grand. And he keeps saying, how come Biscardi doesn't sue him in court? 50 grand is like 50 cents to you and I in our pockets. He didn't care about it. He just
That's
kept moving on. But anyway,
That's
this is not the
thing, because I know Biscardi's been all over. I mean, the guys came up to Wisconsin to investigate claims, Minnesota, I believe.
He goes everywhere. The guy puts in more miles than anybody. There's no reason he would do that unless he actually believes in the Bigfoot. But anyway, I want to get back to the issue at hand. I mentioned the kids and the bike trails, and no man, and not even Jim, would put his children at risk by taking them into deep, remote areas. Jim wouldn't do that. I know he wouldn't do that. So I think he's kidding around with the kids.
I have a two-year-old. I have a two-year-old, And I take her out, but not far. I don't take her out into the remote area for a couple of reasons. One reason is it takes away from my research because I have to tend to her. The second reason is
they're usually not quiet.
Yeah, you can't keep a kid quiet, you know. And the third reason is I worry about her welfare. Period. I don't take her out there. Yeah, I couldn't do that.
No, and neither would Jim. And that's the giveaway there. I mean, he'd be a bad father if he did that, and he wouldn't. And, again, I can't say anything negative or bad about the man personally. I'm trying to keep this all focused on research.
Well, you called him a hoaxer, and so, you know, and I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you there, but if you call somebody a hoaxer, where do they fit into the Bigfoot community? Aren't we supposed to call these people out and say what they are, or we let them slide and go, well, they're a good person, but we'll let him hoax?
Well, I could separate the two. I mean, I know what he's doing, but that's what's confused me in the last 3 years is that I periodically would do a Google search. No one in the Bigfoot community was mentioning this guy. No one was talking about this guy. They sure as freaking hell were talking about me. You're calling me a hoaxer, and I wasn't presenting 2% of the stuff that this guy was putting out. So I never understood why he was getting a pass. Sharon Lee would go on Blog Talk Radio with Steve Calls and call me a, quote, fucking douchebag. For what? Because I was out in the woods with a camera? I never understood that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm kind of, people look at me and they say, you know, I'm kind of a cross between Ernest Borgnine and Vince Lombardi. So, you know, no one's ever confused me with being tall, dark, and handsome. But Jesus Christ, can we get past the superficial here, folks, and look at the real evidence? That's the only thing I'm asking.
Yeah. John, do you want to take a caller? I say we take a caller now. You know, it's almost the hour mark. Let's take a caller.
All right. Someone had been on hold, but they turned off the...
We got a lot on hold, so.
406, you're live.
Hey, Jimmy, how you doing?
Hey, Don, how you doing?
Pretty good. It's finally good to get on the radio with a man who's got a big set of balls as I do. What's up, Mark?
Yeah, man, it's been real today watching my team lose and sitting out in the sun. I could have been squatching, but whatever. It's been a good day.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, what you were saying about give your real name out and everything. Yeah, recently me and a friend of mine were exposed by Rick Dyer and company, and that person tried to get me fired at my job. So, yeah, definitely I understand what you're saying about that.
Absolutely amazing. And for what? Because you got an opinion about Bigfoot?
Because we exposed him.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, I had a question. And I know this is probably going to be sensitive, but we should probably deal with this. The skunk ape image that was in question a couple years back. What happened with that?
I'm sorry, you're asking me what?
Okay, you remember the skunk ape image? You said it was a big mistake. Can you tell us exactly what happened with that?
I've had many skunk ape images.
What you're showing to be a picture of a box.
What are you referring to? The Palmetto or what?
Yeah, the Palmetto.
Oh, the Palmetto monster.
Yeah, the one which was later determined to be a bonobo chip.
No, the Palmetto monster is a hoax, but it's not a hoax for me. The person that put a video up, and I think it's Alex Midnight Walker. He put a video up where he chopped and cropped videos and photos and videos from various sources. Everything is completely out of context. And he presents it in a way that tries to make it look like I hoaxed some some mammoth thing that no one ever saw and no one even really cares about. I look at the video and someone asked me if I could respond. There's nothing to respond to. My only challenge to whoever put that video up, called the Palmetto Monster or Fasano Palmetto Monster hoax, if you have the original video, please, please, if you have the original video that I put up on YouTube in 2009, put that up on YouTube in its unedited version. And if you put it up in the unedited version, you will see that it's not a hoax. So until then, I don't really know what to say, because like I was saying about timber, edited, chopped, cropped, everything out of context. Hell, you can make anything look any way you want it to look.
Oh,
so I look at that and laugh. I look at that and laugh. I say, is that all they got on me? Is something that they that they twisted around?
I agree, Jim, and I thank you for addressing that, because I think that's one of the biggest concerns that everybody has about Jim Fasano. But I got to let you know, I am a big fan.
Thank you.
I think you're out there getting out in the woods. Who else is doing that? You know, not a lot of people criticizing Jim Fasano for actually going out in the woods and looking.
I'm sure whoever put that video up called Fasano Palmetto Hoax is probably listening tonight. So since you are listening, if you do, I don't have the original video anymore. I don't have any of that stuff. But if you're listening here, guy, please, if you've got it, please do the world a favor and put that up on YouTube. I won't report you. Just put it up so people can see what the hell it's all about. That's all I ask.
Yeah, absolutely, Jim. Like I said, I'm a big fan. And that was the only really big question I really had, was about that. And I think that's the only real amount of dirt, you know, quote unquote, that you have on you. So.
No, there ain't nobody got nothing on me. Again, I've got 962 videos, and 940 of them don't show anything, and the other 24 actually show something. And I've always challenged people, if you can find anything I've got on my YouTube channel that's a hoax, that you think is a hoax, please, please point it out. But you know what? No one does. No one ever does. I don't know why this urban myth just continues to exist, that somehow I'm faking. So, you notice my videos in the last 2 years, I'm always with other people.
Yeah.
But somehow I'm a hoax. I guess they're not hoaxing. I am. I don't know what the hell was supposed to be hoaxing. But I just think it's getting old. It's getting rather boring. And I wish people would just shut up, really. I mean, quite frankly, just shut the hell up.
Well, definitely, definitely. And, we had a page going yesterday, and one of the things posted on the page is it said, when Bigfoot gathers around a campfire, they tell Tim Fasano stories.
I'm sorry, you're kind of garbled on my end. Tim Fasano, Bigfoot campsite, what?
Oh, when Bigfoot gather around a campfire, they tell Tim Fasano stories. No.
He's referring to you being like a Chuck Norris.
Anyway, hey, thank you very much, Tim. I appreciate the time.
Thanks, Don.
All right, bye-bye.
See you, Donnie. All right, we got another caller here.
Cool.
256, you're live on Monster X Radio.
First off, just let me say, hi there, Tim Fasano. This is Paul Holsey, Bama Buster 1.
Oh, how you doing, man?
Yeah, let me tell y'all something. I give this man a hard time when he made that video where he sat there and went, I was trying to say he was wrong, because the whole time I'm going, no, no, don't do it, Tim, don't do it.
Are you talking about the video that Timber Giant stole from me and put up on his YouTube channel?
I do believe.
Oh, yeah.
His fans keep saying, what video are you talking about? For 2 years now, if you had hit the archives on Timber Giant, you would have seen a video with my fat, ugly face on it.
It's unmistakable because it's me and it says Tim Pisano retraction video. And
right.
He put it up. It gained 1,100 hits over 2 years. He had it monetized. He had music on it. And when I issued that warning to Timber the other night on a video, you know what? The next morning he had taken it down.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people don't realize, Tim, now, if you say one negative word about this dude, he's built such a following, he's so charismatic. I mean, I pointed out videos from the very beginning. He started just a few months before I did back in 2010.
Right.
And,
right.
And I was watching some of his videos, but I mainly was watching yours and also Ohio, you know, the guy there in Ohio, you know, and...
Keep and J.R. Bigfoot.
Right, because y'all did great videos, and I liked watching them. And then all of a sudden, you know, here this guy comes in, he's trying to make videos, and he's not doing real well. And he even stated that y'all were his heroes. But
Ooh.
Then when...
You're right. He did a video and said Tim and I were his friends. Right.
And then once it started out exposing him, well, then he made the reference that y'all were the bad guys. And he
right.
already set it up. He set it up right then to be a nothing more than just a to get people to choose sides. And he lets people. He don't do any of the – somebody said, well, he don't ever say anything bad about anybody. Well, no, of course not. He doesn't. He don't have to. He gets everybody else
no.
to do it.
Exactly. His
and,
followers
and he sits back and watches.
Well,
but I saw his – you know, remember the video? See, I'm affiliated with the Facebook Find Bigfoot guys and the FLIR project. And – they were doing, you know, breakdown videos, and they posted one of Timber Giants where it's supposedly a Sasquatch up in a tree, and it tiptoes across a limb, and it catches a baby and all this stuff. Well, you know, I messaged them guys. I said, man, it's a leaf. They go, no, you can see it. You know, it comes out. And I said, no, it's a leaf. It's close to the camera.
Yeah.
And see, Timber knew that. I sent him a message telling him that, hey, you know that's not what that is. But he wasn't going to change nothing because everybody else was taking it and running with it. And that's what he does. He
yes,
posts it
exactly.
up and he lets everybody else take it and run with it. Rex Dutton, what a lot of people don't know about Rex Dutton, who all of a sudden came out of nowhere and this guy is portraying himself to be this, you know, amateur, you know, YouTuber, and he just makes these videos for fun, finding Waldo. Well, I did a little digging and found out that Rex Dutton actually works for a computer software company making firewall software or fireware.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. And he's a preacher as well. And he posted a video, you know, of his farewell. Well, if you go and you pull up his Facebook page and you friend him and all that, you'll see that ain't the guy in the video. It's a totally different guy, younger guy.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I'm finding is that a lot of these people, they get on there and they make up these fake personas. And then they do whatever they can to get subs. They buy and sell and trade subs. If you pull up, used to, you could pull up people's subs and see, you know, who they have subbing their channels, but you can't do that anymore. Because used to, you'd pull up on Timber Giants and you'd find that he had cooking channels and, you know, knitting channels. I mean, I'm sitting there thinking, and these people are, you know, into Bigfoot. No, it was a way to build a base. You build a base. You get the subs, you trade other people for subs, and you build your base. And then it doesn't matter how many videos you put out, because if you've got, say, 2,000 or 3,000 subs, well, you're going to get at least 10% of those just because they click on your channel and your intro video pops up. It doesn't really mean that they've gone back through and watched everything you've got.
Absolutely.
But Tim, one thing I appreciate about Tim Pisano was this. You could go back and you could pull up anything you want to do about the old boy, and it's there. He doesn't hide nothing. I quoted in the chat room that he's a photographer. And that's correct, ain't it, Tim?
Yeah.
And he takes photographs, some really good photographs, of some beautiful women. I've seen them. But he doesn't hide that.
I used to get paid money to do.
Right. Well, you don't hide that you drive a taxi, and you had another, I think, there for a while. Didn't you have something about taxi shots or that you were doing?
I got a very successful blog about taxi driving, so the Bigfoot is not all that I do.
Right.
A day doesn't go by that somebody doesn't come up to me and go, "You're Tim Pisano," and it's not because of Bigfoot, but it's because they've seen the taxi blog.
Absolutely. So, and please, that's the thing about Tim Pisano. You can look it up and you can find it, but this other dude, you can't find nothing.
And the thing is too, is that he will not allow people to, on his YouTube videos, he won't allow people to take apart his videos. He doesn't allow that.
No.
He does not allow embedding of his videos. No one can take an embedding code and put it on another site.
He doesn't allow bad comments.
Well, he did with the Big Red video. He allowed the embedding for about 3 days, and then he disabled it.
Yeah.
Because it was on Crypto Mundo, which is the Lauren Coleman, Craig Wolhuter site.
Where Chris Noel put a post, right?
Right. But he was getting, Timber was getting ripped to shreds on Crypto Mundo. So he disabled the video, which is another tactic he uses, because it's how you, in advertising, that's what they call establishing brand loyalty. The only way you're going to find Timber is you got to go to Timber. You can't see his videos anywhere else. And that's just another tactic that he uses. He's clever. There's no doubt about that.
The video he put out where he's standing there and he's looking in another direction and the camera is looking up the hill. But this subject comes across the ridge top, and it's in center frame the whole time. And then all of a sudden, he happens to just look at the screen and sees the elbow or maybe what he thought was a squirrel. That's what he says. Well, then he takes off running up the hill. Now, this thing has went from left to right. It went over a little rise to the right. He runs all the way up to the top of the hill, and when he gets up there, instead of looking to the right where this thing went, he looks to the left and then walks up to a tree with a crack in it about 2 inches wide. And yet people are, and the next day he posts a video where they put a sign up in that area that it's going to be closed to the public due to timber operations, timber cutting. Well, guess what? That never happened. There was never a stick of wood cut out of there by anybody. But he put that sign up because he wanted to distract you from the video.
Wow.
And it's there. It's still up. He left it up where he goes back up and goes, "Oh, look at this. It's a sign that's been made on print shop." And it says, closed to the public due to timber cutting. Yeah, well, that's the place he still goes to today, and there ain't been no timber cut out of it, period. So, if you say anything, he has such a loyal fan base. If you even question, then they'll flog you like a chicken on a worm.
Absolutely, Paul. I mean, absolutely.
He feeds the belief well, that's for sure.
I'm wondering if any of his fans are in the chat room or on hold to talk or...
Yeah, if they're in the chat room, they're kind of quiet. We do have a lot of listeners, a lot of whatnot. I'm not sure, you know. John, do we have any more callers?
No, we don't. I'll post the number in the chat room,
yeah,
though. Another thing about his videos, I just started watching them more recently, but they're just so over-dramatic for me. Like you say, he finds something and everything, and he blows everything up so much. I mean, he creates the hype. He feeds the belief. People want to believe, and he gives them that dose every video.
He leaves a boar's tusk on his bicycle seat. That's not a boar's tusk. It's a bear claw. But it's a boar's tusk.
Around his neck.
Yeah, and it lifted on his bicycle seat, you know, because, you know, hey. I mean, it just gets, and if you hadn't noticed his last video, and it's another tactic to distract you from the issue, there's all these sticks leaned up. I mean, we're talking about almost 100 that are leaned up on against trees because he's trying to distract you from the issue, which is why he edited, why he cut out. That video of Giant Revealed is the back end of an animal. You can see its right leg. You can see the right leg, and it's eating those apples, and it's got its head down. It don't pull its head up until it pulls up to go away. And when it pulls up to go away, of course, that's when he
pans
pulls
back
away and right.
Yeah.
After doing the wood knock, which if you've been doing this research, like somebody said, well, he's been doing research a long time. Well, I can guarantee you, if Tim Fasano is 50 feet away from a skunk ape, the last thing that Tim Sonnen is going to do is grab a piece of wood and strike a tree where it sounds like a gunshot.
Well, this is
good
true.
Point.
Yeah.
Or where clogs or Crocs.
That's why it's possible the videos were shot on two different days, and then they were just spliced together.
Yeah, and you don't go out. I've done some extensive research into this guy because it's amazing to me at how quickly that he's been able to establish a fan base. I mean, we're talking about within a year's time, it's quadrupled, and it's just grown exponentially.
Yeah,
and
a year ago he had 1,800 subscribers, and he's now got 7,200.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Over 2 million views.
I don't even know how that's possible.
It's easy. He's out of the freaking country. He's in Canada. He's posting stuff that is, I mean, especially to a newbie looking at something or someone that's interested in the subject looking at it, it's like, oh, wow, there's a picture of a large, what they consider a large beast or whatever, doing something, you know, and, you know, they envelop this and they want to, you know, say that it's real, you know. It's kind of like the whole Dyer thing, you know.
Well, he's no different than Sasquatch Ontario.
Well, there is a difference. They don't play. I haven't heard Timber say they play chess or marbles or whatever together yet.
Well, that guy's got
like, he's getting there.
Now, Johnny, are you the one with the blog, the bigfootresearch.blogspot.com?
Yep.
Yeah, well, you posted a video still where he said that the Bigfoot out in the woods was using the camera, and you can see the wood frame from a wall panel, which appeared as if, which made it look like it was actually taken inside his house.
Yeah. Yep, that was something else, wasn't it? And he told his followers that, oh, I guess it just decided to cloak, and then it must have came in the house.
And they believe it.
Well, you know, where Timber Giant, he did a video where he's riding a bicycle, and he's riding down a dirt road, and he's talking about whether it's safe or not to, you know, go back into the woods. And what people don't realize is in the background, and he don't even realize this either, is that he all of a sudden you see these buildings pass. Well, I got to looking at those buildings, and I thought, well, I wonder what that is. So I got to pulling up some architectural comparisons, and then I realized it's a airport control tower. And so if he's out in the bush, then, and remember the videos he posted where you had the helicopter that was going over and like it was looking for something that had escaped, you know, this
you know, I don't know why these helicopters are flying over, you know. Oh, they might see me. Yeah, well, moron,
yeah,
live next to a freaking airport. What do you expect? I mean, you know, I mean, come on. Give me a break. I mean, and people suck this up. Like,
yeah, I mean,
you
I know you defended his shoes, Tim, a little bit in your recent video, but, I mean, come on. You're going to wear those Crocs or clogs, and you're not going to get very deep in the woods with those.
Well, no. But from what I'm saying, I mean, I'm just it has happened that that I actually went out one time. I didn't get very far, but I had on flip flops. But I had to stay on a trail, and I couldn't go off trail. See, that's the whole thing about Timber Giant. He's always on a hard pack trail. You never see him out in the brush. He had Dr. Bendernagel.
Yeah.
With him once. But Dr. Bendernagel also was with other researchers in Ontario while he was visiting the area. Are you familiar with a YouTuber called Tracker's the Name?
I'm not.
No.
Yeah. Well, this guy is just crazy. He's just, everything is just off the chart. Maybe he hasn't even posted. Well, anyway, Dr. Bendernagel also visited him and other people. So it was not a real big deal that he had actually hooked up with Timber. And Dr. Bendernagel is a very nice, polite old man, and he's a professor. And he was not going to insult his guest or say anything negative to Timber.
No, I met Dr. Bendernagel before. He is a he's
very
fantastic.
Nice man.
Oh, man, he is
fantastic. You know why he done that, though, don't you?
Yeah.
Because I asked Bendernagel, I said, why did you do, and he also answered this in an interview he did, I think, on the Del Rio show. And he said, well, he wanted to check out some of these YouTube posters for himself.
Why not?
To see just how legitimate that they really were. And if you hadn't noticed, he ain't been back.
No.
No, he's not been back.
No. Of course not.
You kept pressing him. Is it okay to just stay on the trails? He kept mentioning that. So finally, Dr. Bendernagel said, yeah, it's okay to be on the trails because you got visibility into the woods. What Timber was actually saying is that he don't go off the trails. And believe me, you got to go off trail. You have to go into the brush.
Well, he kind of led Bendernagel into that when he said, would you say that this is a suitable habitat for a large creature, like, you know, like a Bigfoot? And Bendernagel's response was, I can concur. he didn't come right out and, you know, I mean, if this was such a glory hole, don't you think the old man would be, like, up there constantly? Because that's his main goal, is to actually have an eye encounter.
Sure.
But he doesn't go back.
Well, my team and I go into the deep woods. And if you look at my videos last 2 years, you don't see us on trails. We're not on trails. We're forging our way through the brush, and at a tremendous risk. Do you know that there's 7 poisonous snakes on the North American continent, and all 7 of them are in Florida. We're at tremendous risk. Any step we take could be right on top of an eastern diamondback that could kill you.
Bad.
The thing is, Bendernagel got taken advantage of there. I mean, and I'm not saying Bendernagel's an idiot. Trust me, he's not. He was going out there to do his thing, and like was mentioned, you know, he was looking some of these videos and whatnot to see if there was anything truth to him.
Sure.
I've met the guy. I've had dinner with him. I've talked to him. The guy knows his stuff, and I feel bad for him because he got involved with some of this, I'm just going to say, just crap. And, and he's one of the most brilliant minds in the field today, along with Jeff and some of these other guys. And he got taken advantage of by something like this. There's no factual evidence there. There's nothing. And it really, I'm going to get worked up on this radio show talking about this because...
Well, don't get worked up now.
yeah. No, but it's just, I met enough credible people.
Don't get like that Pisano guy now and get all worked up and shit.
Oh, that guy, I would never have him on my radio show.
I love that guy's videos. It's a good mix of research and humor.
If you were to, if you went out of the woods with me by the end of the day, you would say this guy is not who I thought he was. And everybody that works with me says that. I'm not who you think I am.
Yeah.
I'm really just a pussycat. But the thing is that with Dr. Bindernagel is you're right. He is a scientist, but I don't know if he's really that astute at field research. And I think Timber sensed that, and that's why he was asking questions like, do you think this is the right ecosystem, and you can stay on the trail and do the blah, 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 blah. And he sort of agreed with that. And again, what Timber did is he spliced the video. He edited it only to show the favorable comments that Dr. Bindernagel was saying. Maybe he was being rather blunt with him later on in the video, but Timber didn't show that, did he? Of course
not. No, he didn't, and I will say that Bindernagel is very astute and knows his stuff. And
there
that, no, I'm just saying, he is no idiot. He's just such a nice guy that he will not blast anybody. He doesn't blast people. It's not his thing. He will just kind of go along with it, but dispute it down the line, you know what I'm saying? But he's not the one to go out there he's not going to blast anybody. You know, he's going to go out there and do his own research and take what he takes from that.
I'm wondering if you, are any of Timber's followers in chat? Are they asking any questions?
We got a caller on hold. John, do you want to take him?
Yeah, we got a couple of them. You want to take the...
Take the 916.
Okay. 916, you're live.
Hey, this is Sean.
Hey, buddy.
Sean.
Sean, how you doing, man?
Good, Tim. Is Bama Luxor still on? Is that his real name?
Yeah, that's Paul Holster.
Yeah. John. I don't know what is it with you people hiding behind your fake names. You know, that's just ingenuous of you guys.
You know, Bama Buxter won. Actually, it started out on a hunting-like site, and Bama Buxter was my screen name. And so when I started YouTube, I just thought, well, I'll just go with the same screen name. Well, it wouldn't let me, and so I had to add the one to it. But that's because that's what I saw everybody else doing. 73 Roadrunner 1. I saw these others doing it. So I just followed.
Yeah, my other screen name privately is Hot Boy 1.
I like that. Yeah, are we the only ones that use our real name, Sean? Jeez.
Yeah, I know. I guess we are. So we're the legit ones.
Like I said, don't use your real name.
Yeah, Tim, that's your real name.
Unfortunately, yeah, it is my real name, and it's been worked against me. But
you
anyway.
Know, I don't know if you guys know, but Tim is actually a celebrity in his hometown because he actually drives around and people recognize him. People say turn around. People look at him and he'll turn around and they'll say, "Hey man, aren't you the skunk ape hunter?" And I think this happened to you a few times, right, Tim?
Yeah, every day somebody walks up to me and goes, "Are you Tim Fasano?" And I'm, yeah.
Tampa Tim.
Yeah, but they know me either from cab driving or from the Bigfoot, and people say, "Man, I've seen your videos, man, they're awesome." I had one guy stop at a red light and got out of his car and came running up to my cab, and he goes, I know you, man, I know you. I even had a pickup at a house where a lady was walking up, and she started screaming, it's him, and she ran back to her husband in the house and says, "Honey, the Bigfoot guy, he's at our curb," and he come running out. He said he had signed up for a BFRO expedition, and he was going to go on that and blah, 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 and he couldn't get enough of it. But, I mean, it's fun. It's just fun. I'm just a mild-mannered cab driver. What?
You get good tips?
Yeah. It was a nice airport ride, actually. So what's going on, Sean?
Oh, no much. I enjoyed your show every time I tune in. I don't get a chance to tune in much, but every time I tune in, it seems like it's like the biggest show on the internet. I don't know if you guys are on iTunes yet, but you know, I would love to sub to you guys on there.
Yes, we are, and there's a link in the blog now, I think, to get there as well.
All right. Yeah, it's a good show to listen when you're on like a long road trip or something.
It's a bad movie.
Sean, you gonna put the archive of this on your site?
Oh, I usually do when they let me know when someone's important on, like you, I put it on.
Hey, Sean, you're always welcome to post our stuff on your site, and you're important.
Yeah, but everything's okay. You know, I've been spending a lot of time on my website. Yeah.
Sean, are you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to actually thank you. The other day you put up a video where Timber showed 14 minutes of trees. And your logical reasoning was that if you can show 14 minutes of trees, why can't you show the unedited version of the Sasquatch?
Well, you know what the supporters are saying, Jim's supporter, if that's his real name, Jim, is that, oh, see what happens when he put up the full thing? You guys criticize him for that. You know, and I'm like, you have a good point there. I can't really come back at you for that. Okay.
Well, Sean, you with me?
Yeah.
If someone were to find the original Patterson film and they found out that it was actually 42 minutes long and Patty did not show up until the 28th minute, would you watch the whole 42 minutes?
Oh, hell yeah, man. Anything that comes out, anything related to Patterson, given even him, you know, going off to the outhouse, I would watch, okay? I mean, that's how important this whole thing is.
You want to see what happened before they ran into Patty and what happened after they ran into Patty?
There's a new reel that was recently released. It's like it was showing them him riding on a horse or something, some footprints being cast. But I watched it like 1,000 times. I don't even know why, but I just wanted to know something more.
There's a difference. Yeah. He ran towards the subject and not just filmed it. And said, "Well, there's a squatch there." He ran towards the subject. You know?
Yeah. You can actually see the struggle. But with Tim, with Timber Giant Bigfoot, he's like, "Oh yeah, typical day. You know, another squatch over there. Okay, I'm just gonna look up a tree. Oh, I see a squirrel. Let me go back to the Bigfoot again. Yeah, it's Bigfoot. Squirrel. That's what he was doing."
Yeah.
This is awesome. This is epic. Sean is on this program, and we're busting out timber. This is awesome, man.
I don't care. I don't care if the a minute before he was filming his kid riding a bicycle. I want to see that. You know, I mean,
yeah. There's
no reason to cut. I mean, it's weird. I mean, if it's a big,
well, Sean,
you say it's a big one? I don't know.
Sean, you got small kids. Are you going to take them out in the deep wilderness where they could get hurt?
No, of course not. I wouldn't even take myself if
You didn't take them to the Sean. Wait. Sean, you didn't take them to the Sierra site.
Look, you guys should ask those guys. I'm a scaredy cat. Okay, I don't know if you listened to audio when I was up there and Barb was filming. My voice was shaking as much as Don's voice when he called in a few minutes.
Well, Bob, if he knows whether you'll go out.
Only way I'll go is when someone has a thermal imager with them, because I like to know what's around me. But if you don't have anything, I'm not going. I like, you know, it's unknown out there. So I'm not going to take my kids out there. I mean, it's just, it's crazy.
Of course,
but,
with Jim. Jim wouldn't do that either.
Yeah, but according to Jim, Binder Nagel seems to agree with him that squatching from the road is better than squatching inside the forest.
No,
but
it's not.
He I know, just joking.
He may have a PhD, but I have a BA, and I would argue with him.
He's probably just agreeing just to agree. I'm like, a nice guy, a gentleman like Mr. Binder Nagel.
He's a nice man. He's a very nice gentleman.
Yeah, he's Canadian too, so they're gonna be very nice. Not gonna.
Yeah.
I mean, look, Tim Regine, he's a Canadian. He's not gonna call in and argue with you. Okay? He's too nice for that. You know, whatever.
I invited him to the show.
Yeah. You. Now the only problem I see, Tim. The only problem I see if he does call in is that he's gonna make sure that you like him before you get off the phone, and then you're not going to talk smack about him for releasing hoaxy material. So I warned you now that if he does call, you guys are probably going to be best friends for whatever reason. That's the way these Canadians are. So I would caution.
He already did that. He got Tim Fasano to make a stupid video with him going, "The guy does good stuff. he got Tim to do it, and I got mad at Fasano. I did. I was like, "Oh, you big pansy!" I was like, "Man, you caved in to the social pressure." But what people don't understand is that when you're putting a YouTube channel up and you're trying to get subs and trying to get views, and then all of a sudden something happens to where you're just getting hammered, your numbers drop. Sometimes you have to kind of,
here's what I like about Tim is that he doesn't care about the subs. He's gonna speak his mind. I mean, Tim has lost, probably thousands of subs because he's honest. He'll tell you what he thinks. He's very, very honest. He's not like a politician at all. And he doesn't even put ads on his video. And I said, Tim, why are you doing this for free?
Yeah.
He put ads up, but he doesn't do it. And I'm still talking about that. But Tim Regine, he's already monetized every single video, especially with the Big Red. I think he's like 15,000 views. And for every 1,000, you get $4. So he's probably made $60 from that Big Red. He's probably going to make more in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Get himself a new pair of Crocs.
All you got to do is Google Timber Giant Bigfoot on a search, and you'll find dating advertisements for dating services. You'll find advertisements for porn sites. You'll find advertisements.
No kidding.
No joke. I mean, I remember I went and watched one of his videos, and all of a sudden this pop-up for this online dating service came up on my screen. I was like, well, how'd they get my, how in the world? I'm a preacher. Come on now. And so I just backtracked. And when I backtracked it, I found out it was because Timber Giant, all those subs that he has, all those different, they're all kinds of different, some of them are in foreign countries. Some of them are foreign people. You don't even know if they could be in Zimbabwe or something, But it's a number. And the nut thing people don't know is that, let's say I sub to your channel and then I close my account. My number, my sub still stays as your number on your channel.
Wow. Interesting. Well, let's see. We got another caller here. Let's see who we got. 501, you're live.
Hello.
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 Hey, is this Thomas?
Joe Hargrave, still Bigfoot.
All right.
Thomas. Hello?
Hello.
This is Thomas.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
I was doing my best Carl imitation from Spade.
That was weak.
bite me. I wanted to ask Mr. Fasano a question. Is he still on?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. When you go out and do your searches in the woods, whether you're going out on an expo or whether you're just going out, do you take collect a data sheet each time you go out?
Do I do what?
Like do a data sheet, like I went out at this time, we did this, we did that, we didn't see anything, we saw something, and then keep a log of it?
I don't do an actual written log, but I do a blog, which Martha, you can go to TimPisanoBigfoot.com or SasquatchEvidence.com, and you can hit the link for Bigfoot outings or expeditions, and there's a chronology of everything that we're doing out in the woods. So that would be the log that we're doing.
So every time you go out, you post that to your blog?
Yeah, I do post on the blog, SasquatchEvidence.com, TimPisanoBigfoot.com, and
right.
We keep a historical record of it.
Okay.
Photographs,
okay.
Videos, descriptions of what's going on, and all that stuff.
Do you also do something like a GPS data where, like, just for yourself, where you, like, let's say I saw one of your videos one time, and the subject in question was on the other side of some tall grass, and he poked it and he put that down.
Kevin does the GPSing of all of our spots, and
okay.
including where the trail cams are at, and he keeps that on his. He's got an iPhone, and that's that's what he's using, and we've got all the GPS spots. So if we need to find something to go back to another area, we can get a lock on it. However, when you do this for a long time, you remember landmarks and this and that, and you can, even without a GPS, you can pretty much find your way right back to where you were at.
Right, I understand that. But what I would like to see is more the folks that did go out in the woods and do research and expos and stuff, that they would keep a log of GPS data, even if they keep it for themselves. So one day, let's say 30 or 40 years down the road, when, you know, we're either too old to go out, that someone else can pick up where they left off and go back and keep a running record of a...
Yeah, we accept that. When I first got started in Bigfoot, there was a belief that you should not tell people where you're at, because people might go out there and compromise the area. So you kind of keep that to yourself. You don't really want to reveal that. Yeah.
I understand.
Unless
that.
You're a money maker.
If you're going to pass it on, you know, I mean, research is meant to be passed on. At least that's the business I'm in. And so
and
when you go
professional.
Huh?
I mean, for example, right now at my door, if Matt Moneymaker and Bobo knocked on the door and they said, "We want to know where you were at when you shot this video," I would take him right out to that spot.
Right,
I got no
problem. And I wish that more people in the community would be like that instead of being territorial. When you step off, you know, your research does not involve monetary gain. It compromises the findings eventually if there's money involved.
Yeah, I used to show on my cell phone where I was at. I would show the GPS coordinates, and I would put that on the video so that anyone could see the GPS coordinates and go out there. But I was told by various people, don't do that. Don't do that, man, because they could go out there and put up a fake structure or something.
Personally,
I don't really believe that. I really would feel better just showing where we were at, because the more you show people, the less they think you're hiding something, you know.
I just hope that eventually the community will accept research protocols of what you do when you go out and look. And that a public database can be created. Because until people stop fighting over it, I don't think a whole lot is done. And until people stop fighting in this community, I don't think a lot's going to get
I agree, Tommy. I agree with you. There's too much infighting and whatnot, but the thing is, a lot of the Bigfoot world is involved with Facebook and YouTube and that sort of community. But there is avenues outside of this, you know, that that are areas that we can actually meet in person and actually contribute to the community without being involved in the online community.
Right, I understand.
Yeah, yeah, and I totally agree with you. I know what you're saying. I know where you're coming from, and I totally agree. But at the same time, a huge portion of the community is involved with Facebook. You have your bench sitters. You have the people that go out into the field and do actual research. But unfortunately, there's just so much chaos online that unless you can separate yourself and not get involved too much with the crap that's put out there, if you delve into it, you're going to be involved in it. So, everybody needs to work together, but at the same time, you need to call out the hoaxers, you need to call out those that are in it for the money, per se, that are not honest about their situation, like myself, I go out in the field, I don't have YouTube videos, and no offense to anybody that does, because some of the stuff out there is awesome and some of it's crap, but get involved with your local community, do your research, and listen to your elders. Look at some of the history of Bigfoot sightings and whatnot, and you can learn a lot and really pick apart who's in it for the money and who's in it for the research.
Oh, believe me, I'm a great example of trying to bust out the hoaxers.
Awesome.
Yes, you are.
All right, guys. Well, I appreciate you taking my phone call. You have a good rest of the show.
Hey,
all right, thanks, buddy.
All right, bye.
Bye. All right, well, we got another caller here. 717, you're on Monster X Radio.
Hey, guys, this is John Reed. How you doing?
Hey,
hey.
Hey, John.
Hey, John there. Sean?
Yes.
Hey, Sean, how you doing? Hey, you know what? Right when my story came out, I just started looking online. The first thing I seen was your site, and there was this little tiny picture in the corner, and it's like me. It's like, wow, now I'm on the internet? Now I was just totally freaked out by that. It's like, okay, I guess everybody's found this crap.
Yeah, so, with John Reed, the fifth or the sixth, or the fourth. I don't know. But anyways, John, last year was it, John?
Was it last year that
happened to you? You started having some activity around your house, your mobile home, I mean, and you started hearing like rocks, right, being thrown at your RV.
Yeah.
And you said that the people walked up and looked at your girlfriend through the window. Is that what happened?
Pretty close to that. The RV is parked. Sacred Game Lands is like, if we drive, it's maybe a mile and a half from my house till I hit the dirt road and go up in. That's about a 7-8 mile road. It goes down into another small town. I mean, they don't even have a post office. At the end of the road, there's some hunting camps and stuff. We had my RV parked there. So we would get out of town for for a couple hours at night. We'd be bored, so we'd go over there and we'd sit in the camper. And yeah, we did have some rock throwing. And one night we put a little stick on light, a little push button light we put on the front, so anybody tries sneaking up on us, coming up to the door, or anything trying to scare us, we could see. And one night we seen rocks were being thrown. We heard a couple hit the camper, and then we seen them just like flying by the light. About 15-20 minutes later, one walked right by the window. He didn't walk by the window. He actually like kind of snuck by the window, like he was ducked down trying to get it, like he was going after the light. And she knows nothing about Bigfoot at the time. I had a teacher since. And I just looked at her, and I could see in her face she's seen something. I just looked at her and I said, what? She said, did you see that? I was like, yeah, tell me what you saw, because I don't want to influence what she said. And she told me the exact same thing. Later on, we found out that the bottom of the window he was sneaking under was about 6 feet off the ground. So if he would have stood up, it would have been about 7 foot tall. So it was like a juvenile, I believe. It was a juvenile male who's been coming around. I think he kind of knew there was female around.
Okay.
Wow. And it took out your taillight, too, right, when you guys checked?
Well, that's what was reported by the police.
That's right. You were on the news, weren't you?
Yeah, I called the police because of theft and vandalism. I had some windows smashed out, a taillight smashed out, my trail camera was stolen, my propane tanks were stolen from the Winnebago. So I called to report that. And on the site, it was just a little group we had. Me and my kid, we go out doing some squatching. You know, some of his friends would go with, and we take pictures of what we find. You know, broken trees, different things, just, you know, whatever we find. And I showed the police officer this website, Vikings Valley Sasquatch Hunters. So, oh, you believe in Bigfoot, do you? I said, yeah. And I was talking to him, and he didn't put in week one, window smashed, rocks being thrown. Week two, taillight found smashed. Week three, second window smashed. Week four, you know, this stuff stolen. And I had the dates and everything, times and dates of, you know, when we found it and what happened. He said, well, why didn't you report this? I said, well, the first one, there was rocks being thrown, and, you know, we kind of thought it might have been, you know, something in the woods. I mean, you know, it was a bear, it might have been a Bigfoot or something. Just talking to him. Well, he took everything I said and turned it around as to say that Bigfoot attacked my camper, smashed out the windows, and we had to get in the truck and drive away. And, I mean, this hit the AP news. And I was just like, wow, that's how he really reported it? And he took stories that I told him that happened to me when I was 11 years old, you know. Said in the thing, he said, Bigfoot, he claims he sighted Bigfoot in the same area, you know, before, in the past. I was like, yeah, in the past when I was 11. You know, I was like, damn, man, I'm 40 years old now. It's like, come on. Well, yeah, they blew it all out of proportion, but, you know, luckily there's, you know, places like here or a couple of radio stations, how I did 8 interviews in Canada where I could get the real story out, and it's just been a crazy ride since then. I mean, we've been getting a lot of activity around the area, and, you know, I got some footprints we cast about 4 months ago. So we were out the other night. We heard some calls. We heard some yells. We've had some pretty good luck out there. It's a nice place. And that, one of the things I heard you guys were talking about, you know, people want to protect their spots.
Yeah.
You know, I open my spot up to any newcomer who doesn't know anything or wants to learn, or non-believers. You know, they go, well, why can't you give me proof? I said, I can give you proof. If you want proof, get off your couch. Put the computer down, drive to my house, bring your camping gear, and I'll go show you what I see. I'll go show you what I hear. I'll go show you what's there. I'll let you smell the smells. You know, it's there. You know, bring cameras. Catch it on film if you can. You know, I can't. But, you know, I know what's there. I've seen what's there. You know, so I put that out. Anyway, if you want to really know, hey, I'll show you. Come on.
Yeah.
Like, I was thinking, you know, it would be great if we get, like, some of the, I'd like to gather up, like, say, a small group of, like, 10 of the biggest names in the Squatch, and just get everybody together, have a nice big conference together, you know what I mean? Let everybody talk what they're talking, and, you know, just compare notes. Stop keeping everything secret.
John, where exactly are you at, John?
I'm about 30 miles north of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Okay. But that's... You know, I love that you say that, because so many people are like, oh, my spot's secret, this and that. Of course, you don't want to get, 100 people out there or anything like that, but you're willing to take people out to your location that are interested and serious and do some research, you know. I mean, I'm sure Tim's the same way. You know, he'll take anybody out, right?
If they're professionals, they're real researchers, I will definitely take them out to my area. So
Well, I had a couple guys contact me through the internet, originally from, like, around the area, but I think they moved away. I think one of them was actually in Harrisburg, and they went to college together, and they started getting interested in this, and they seen me online. It's like, well, you're pretty close and stuff. Like, well, I can show you a few things, you know. What do you know? I mean, how much do you know? How much have you? It's like, well, we've only known what we've seen on TV or on the radio. We've never, or, you know, on the internet. We've never actually been out in the woods to actually, you know, look for Bigfoot or anything like that. So I said, well, look, you guys are welcome to come up. They came up. We spent the day together up in my area. You know, I took them for a drive-through. I pointed out some things I found, like different structures that I've seen. It's like, well, people say, you know, if these asterisk marks, you know, they stack them like that. You know, I just showed them around, and you know, did some calls for them, and you know, try to teach them what I've learned. You know, they had a great time. They want to come back again when they spend some time.
Yeah. Hey, Tim, I got a question for you since you're still on the line and our guest here. What's it like working with Stacy Brown and his group?
Oh, those are awesome guys, man. Totally awesome.
Come on.
They're very observant. They're very dedicated. I worked with them in Myakka for over a 3-day period, and I don't think those guys slept. We were out in the primitive camp. Kevin, Terry, and I were out in the primitive camp, and we slept. We didn't go to bed till like 3 in the morning, but we did get some sleep. But Stacy and the guys, they were always calling, where you at? We're going to come out and see you. And then they were always somewhere else. And they're very high energy, very motivated, and all about research. And I'm sure Stacy would tell you this is not hearsay, but I spoke to him about what he thought about Timber Giant Bigfoot. He thought he was a complete, absolute hoaxer. I can say this about Stacy Brown Jr. The guy is real. He's 100%. He's straight up. I probably had one of the most awesome experiences working with him and his group and our group. We combined. And it was just one of those things you remember the rest of your life. He's a great guy. I understand he's probably going to be on the Spike TV program for Finding Bigfoot. And I think he'd be one of the stars on that show. He's I cannot say enough good about the guy. That's all I can say, really.
We've had him on the show before. Actually, he was one of when MXR got started, Monster X Radio got started. He was one of our first guests on the show, and he was very. I loved having him on the show because he was very open and honest and whatnot. And I do follow his research, and so you know you're kind of a follow up to some of that. And so I'm interested in you. Are you guys going to work together in the future?
Well, I hope so. I don't know what schedule is. We should be doing a camping expedition the third week of October. Well, actually, Halloween, the day before Halloween, which is the beginning, theoretically, according to Scott Marlowe, is the beginning of the migratory season in Florida, where these animals will be on the move, and he may be coming down with his group. We're going to meet in the green swamp. But I got to follow up and get a hold of him and find out. He committed to it, but he's not sure exactly if he's going to be able to. It'd be awesome if he shows up. We're going to have a big group. We do this every year, same spot. We find evidence every year we go out there, including the trackway we found 2 years ago. So it should be a go. We're just waiting for the weather to get better down here, which means cooler. And as soon as the weather cools off, then we got 7 months where we're going to be able to do some real research.
Awesome.
How close, Tim, are you guys, I mean, to the Skunk Ape? I mean, what are your thoughts on, like, when do you think what is your goal? Do you think that you're going to be able to provide the evidence that the Skunk Ape or Bigfoot exists in the near future?
Well, I think that'll be provided by the technology. For example, Derek Randalls of the Olympic Project, he has sent us very expensive Reconnaissance RC60 cameras, which are stealth thermal cameras.
Yeah.
And we have them deployed with battery strength and media cards, which can hold up to 14,000 images. We have them deployed for 6 months at a time. So the ones that we're going to go to in November, we put out in the last week of May.
So you're working with Derek Randalls as well?
I'm sorry, what?
You're working with Derek Randalls as well?
Well, as an adjunct to the Olympic project, he sent us video cam the trail cams that we're using. I don't own them. He owns them.
Yeah.
We're just
yeah.
using them to try to get them. Now we've gotten great images of pigs, deer, coyotes, hogs, any critter you can imagine, including a poacher coming
yeah.
by with shotguns. We just don't yet have an image of the camera. I hope over the next year we can improve the cameras that we have. And I really, Michael Merchant is a big believer in that. He believes that it's just a matter of, he says the reason that trail cams have never found anything is because there's not enough trail cams out there.
Uh-huh.
And we just need to get more deployed.
Yeah, I worked with Darren Randles before, and he's a big proponent of the trail cameras, and he's got a crap load out there, and has taken some of the best.
It's what I call letting the technology do the work, because you're sleeping in bed at night. Those cameras are working, and it's you got to win the lottery. It's a needle in a haystack. But it could happen, and I really think that's where the real capture is going to come. I don't think it's going to be walking around out on a bike trail with your kids wearing their little helmets and training wheels like Timber Giant does. That's why I take exception to that, because everybody, his followers are deluded into thinking it's real. And I'm surprised they're not all over your show tonight. Are you getting a lot of questions, or do you have more traffic than normal on your site tonight, or?
We do have a little bit more traffic than usual, I'll be honest, but not a lot of questions. I think people are intimidated about this, and I'll be honest, I think they are really, those that are defending Timber are on the fence, even though they're defending him, and they're kind of scared to call in. Yeah, no, I'm kind of shocked, actually, that more people haven't come out to defend him. I think that they're looking for, like all of us, more evidence and whatnot from him, and it's just not there.
Yeah.
Well, not yet. It's just what his people need to understand is that he is not recognized by the Bigfoot community, and I got this when I talked to Derek Randles. He is not recognized by the Bigfoot community as being a credible or credible researcher. He's
yeah.
not. There's no one who is in the Bigfoot world that would think that he is for real. He's merely thought of as an entertainer.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. Until you release the unedited footage, it is what it is. And I guess we're down to our last couple minutes here, and I want to thank everyone for joining us.
Well, I want to thank you for offering letting me on your show. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Tim. You know, I really hope you're the guy that discovers Bigfoot.
Well, I hope so, or Stacy Brown, who's getting real close. Somebody in Florida is going to do it. This is a hot area down here, right?
Well, I hope it's somebody up here in Oregon. But kudos if you guys do before me.
Oregon, or next September, Kevin and I want to go up to Boundary Waters Canoe Area in northern Minnesota. And
nice. Let me know.
Sasquatch has got to be up there, man. There's no doubt about that.
Let me know when you go up there.
Tim, come out to Oregon, and we'll go squash together, and I will show you a good time. Spend your money wisely and come out to Oregon.
We will, and I appreciate you letting me on your show tonight, guys.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Tim. We'll have you back sometime.
Yeah, take care. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Go Bucks.
Yes, and thanks for joining us, John Reed and Sean Evidence.
Thank you for having me, and I'll hang up. Thanks.
Thanks,
buddy.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Good night.
Thank you.
Good night, Paul. And one quick note that I wanted to mention was that we had Paul on here, Paul Halsley, from Southern Sasquatch Radio. His shows air on Friday nights, and if you guys want some good good knowledge and a great show to listen to. Listen to the Southern Sasquatch Radio on Friday nights with Paul Halsey, a.k.a. Bombas. And you guys will not be disappointed.
Yes, and thanks, everyone, for joining us in the chat room. Alu, Art, Donnie, Federico, and all the guests, and Jeremy, Nancy, Northwest Alabama, Paul Foot, Pinkfoot, Ramble One, Randy, Russ, Stefan, Wild-Eyed Southern Boy, Wildheart, everyone else that was on earlier. We'll see you next week.